Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
We're still offering the 2022 half-off, but in particular for our annual forecast model report, which covers all the major markets. And you go to LeibovitVRNewsletters.com or VRTrader.com and enter the promo code 2022 half-off when you go to any of the newsletters, hopefully the VR Forecaster report, because that's really only an annual one-time report, which is very unique. In any event, that is available with that discount. And also my regular disclosure, I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice.
Mark, interesting times on the stock market?
In the state of the world. Okay. It's like overwhelming, you know, in terms of all the subjects that we could, we could cover. I mean, you know, we've been talking about the cyclical forecast for weeks and the vernal equinox and what could happen in March, and then we saw some market tops form at that time, and we had the solar eclipse this past Monday. We're talking about that and the potential for geocosmic events, earthquakes and so forth associated with it. Hasn't happened yet, but could still happen in the months ahead. All kinds of fun stuff. I've been writing about the risk of a black swan event coming, and boy, do we have, a list. We had the Baltimore Bridge collapse, the solar eclipse itself, of course. There was seismic rumblings, as you know, off the coast of Vancouver. The Taiwan, huge Taiwan earthquake. There was even an earthquake in New York. Of course, not to mention what's going on in the Mideast right now. We're talking about black swans and out of the blue. Now, have warships, U.S. warships headed to the area just in case somebody hits the wrong button at the wrong time. And, Israel has the ability to nuke, Iran and that whole group if they're attacked, which may not be the best result, obviously, but is a risk. And ultimately, it could happen, particularly if Iran gets more aggressive with its nuclear program down the road. But in any event, there's so much going on, and the market's been telling me, watch out. There's some risk here in this time frame. That was in our forecaster report, by the way, that we just had mentioned. So, it's really there's so much going on. Gold surged to new record highs, over 2,400. Crude oil started to move again. Of course, it didn't get to new highs, but it started hitting toward the $90 level or higher, and depending on part of the day you were monitoring it. Interest rates suddenly start to go up when it suddenly became a big surprise that, the Federal Reserve is not so successful in fighting inflation, and there may not be any rate cuts this year, despite all the jabbering about the rate cuts, and that's the reason why you should be in the market. When I kept saying there's so many other things out there besides the Federal Reserve, it seems like that is the total mentality of the market. It's brainwashing on a certain level, but we also have the market being manipulated by the government on various levels, including that famous plunge protection team, which no one likes to talk about, but is out there. And, crazy times. So we have the presidential election coming up. Biden wants to cancel student loans. I mean, all kinds of shenanigans going on for votes, try to get the markets moving, get people to vote. So, and April itself, you know, we're in a time frame which historically has a lot of surprises. I mean, major wars have begun in April. There have been major terrorist events in April. Mohammed and Hitler were both born on April 20th. I mean, I have a list here of 50 items. We posted those in the newsletter. So, you know, bottom line, there's so much going on here, during this month. Anything can happen. You know, I can't predict whether, there's going to be war or not, but I've been talking about World War III already being underway and, no surprises. You know, it's a wild time and the bulls are out there. And I guess if the government's manipulating the markets, which has been going on for decades, and you have a political bent for that to occur. And, you know, it's a time where you just got to be really nimble, or you've got to be just so long term saying, you know, well, the Dow ultimately is going to go to about 65,000, which is where I think it ultimately is going to go, but it could be 10 or 20 years from now. And you just, you know, you just hold stocks and weather the storms along the way. But I don't do that. In fact, we were short here. You know, we made some nice money today on paper for our clients with the, you know, the short recommendations in the indexes. And Dow was down about 500 points. And we've actually been going short all week, in and out all week, the markets, because of my concern about, you know, a break here. And, but we do at the same time, don't stick with anything very long. You know, we're in it for a day or two. We take the trade, move on. And we'll see what happens over the weekend, whether anything really happens in the Mideast, anything else happens at geocosmic levels. You know, I'm still expecting more of that type of stuff coming. I still think there could be earthquakes and a lot of other activity going on in the months ahead. So it's going to be a wild year, but it's tradable if you're in the markets. It's sort of funny today, gold got really extended and it's backed off after surging to 2,400. Oil did the same. So maybe everybody got overly bearish here a little bit. Maybe things will turn next week and we'll go sort of go the other way. So, we'll just have to, you know, we took profits in our short just because we're going into the weekend and, you know, I don't like carrying positions overnight, particularly after big moves like we just had, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there's going to be another shorting opportunity next week. If we get another rally try, we'll probably, you know, dip our toes in there again. But so I've covered a lot here, Jim. You know, just crazy time. Seems like if you were in gold and oil, you did well. And overall in the stock market, more or less. But you had to be in the right stocks. And the even the cannabis stocks, which I really liked, hit a little top here about a week back. We got out of those, but I'm looking to get back in. I still think the DEA is going to do something about rescheduling the cannabis. In fact, there was a comment just that came out, I think, the day before yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see here if I can find it. Let's see here. Someone from the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, came out and said, there's really no reason that you guys at the DEA should hold back in rescheduling, you know. So from the FDA point of view, you know, let's get going with it already. Let's reschedule it. So, that could happen at any time. And if that happens, then there's going to be, you know, a big rally in some of these cannabis stocks. So they hit a top, they're pulling back here, and I'm sure there's another play coming. And we're not even talking about the final passage of a Banking Reform Act, which is out there, which is supposed to clean up the banking system for cannabis transactions. And that's been pending a long time. So we got to just keep our eyes out for where the action is and where some of those opportunities are.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, interesting action in the crypto market.
Yes, it was acting a little toppy. And it pulled back, and then it started up again, retested the highs. Of course, there's different cryptos going in different directions. For example, the Doggy coin or the Doge coin, which Elon Musk was so vocal about, had a nice rally here this past week. I mean, the thing was down to 5 or 6 cents, got up over 20 cents. For those who are out there who are not familiar with that market, you know, that's a big move if you're a trader. Of course, I think it was high as 60 cents a couple, 3 years ago, when Elon was talking more about it. But Ethereum and Bitcoin were starting to rally again, and then they faded here. There's, you know, a couple of big points on the chart. I mean, basically, I could see a break in Bitcoin, which got, as you know, around that 73,000 level. I can see it dropping to 51,000 and then starting up again. Or we can get one of these knee-jerk reverse rally type events where if we can break through that high, it's called a slingshot event. You know, you can, if you look in some charts or chart books, they talk about it. But if it zips through that big high and it does it quickly, we could see Bitcoin at 100,000. But, you know, I'm sort of betting that it's still in a corrective mode here. It hit a little top and it might pull down a bit and give us another trading entry point. But if you're positioned in it as part of your overall portfolio, you should probably stay with it because it probably will go to that 100,000 at some point here. I was looking about the 88,000, 89,000 levels I mentioned months ago in our interview as a possibility even before it started to move, but that was a 2-3 year comment. So it's wild out there with the cryptos. They're trading, and you know, they tend to trade a little bit, you know, with speculation in the market. In other words, when NASDAQ stocks are hot and AI stocks are hot and money is flowing and a lot of speculation, NASDAQ, you tend to see the Bitcoin stocks tend to move to the crypto stocks. So you keep using the word Bitcoin. That's just one of the coins. Just the entire crypto sector just speculative. But, you know, with the passage of the ETFs, the existence of those now and worldwide interest on the part of fund managers to have some allocation in that market, I don't see a lot of downside risk. I mean, sure, it could drop 10 or 15%. Down to that 50,000 area or so, but I don't see much more beyond that, particularly with the legitimacy that this market now has in the, you know, in the investment world where before it didn't, and the liquidity factor is there now, which wasn't there before. So interesting stuff. So yeah, I'm still bullish on the sector, still think we're going a lot higher, but I have a little question mark about the short-term trade, you know, whether we're going to break one sharply here first before we go to new highs or not. So that's what we're monitoring.
What's happening with cocoa? That seems to be the hottest thing on the planet.
I know. It didn't help Hershey, the company that obviously is the big chocolatier. You know, that affected their costs, and the stock, you know, didn't benefit from that. I don't have the reason. A lot of analysts are scratching their head. You know, in the agricultural world, the cocoa play was extraordinary, how much it took off, how fast it took off, and I had to do more research on that, Jim, to get back to you about what the reasons were. There was crop shortages or weather, or there's some manipulation going on in that market. I'm just not up to speed, but I did note, and we did own for a while, the cocoa ETF in the model portfolio, so we did benefit from the move, but it was there along with corn and soybeans and, you know, other agricultural ETFs at the same time. So it wasn't that I was such a genius picking out cocoa. It just was a part of the whole agricultural sector, so to speak. And it just was a big standout in terms of its performance. But overall, I would have to say I'm bullish on and have been on commodities for a long time, regardless of where the dollar is trading, simply because of potential geocosmic events, world shortage risks, war, and all kinds of crazy things that I think, you know, owning the position in the commodity markets, futures markets, if you can do an ETF, all the better, is a good strategy.
Is Trump Media a good share to buy, a good stock?
Well, we got in it, and we took a loss in it on a trade. So I like to think it would be at some point. It ran up DJT, which is the ticker symbol, it stands for Donald J. Trump. And, you know, the stock was down a little bit in trading today, Friday. Ran all the way up into the 60s, down to around 30, and now it's around 32. My guess it should be, and we're watching to get back in. But, you know, we jumped in on a pullback, actually waited for a pullback, got in on a trade, stopped out of it because it wasn't following through, and keeping an eye on it for another entry. I would think that if he's going to be potentially elected, this stock will do well. If he is actually elected, obviously do better. So keeping an eye on it, not in at the moment, but it's something to monitor.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says he doesn't understand why the new Democratic Party premiers of Canada are against the carbon tax increase. Well, this is a man who is worth $97 million American. He makes over $400,000 a year. Do you think he knows what it costs to raise a family and how much of that time is spent in a vehicle driving them to dance practice, hockey practice, soccer practice? How much money that costs you?
I don't know where to go with that one, Jim. But my opinion of Mr. Trudeau is not that high, particularly since he follows in the heels of many of the U.S. Democrats and their myopic view of running government in terms of, you know, what commodities we should be producing or not producing, like oil and who should be letting into our country, and how do we protect our borders, and how do we spend our money? So, wouldn't surprise me if he would not be qualified to deal with that issue.
Well, I don't know if he would have to have people go out and buy bread or milk or gas up their car to tell him what it costs, because he has no idea. He gets driven around everywhere at taxpayer expense. He doesn't know how much it costs to live in this country. And by the way, we have three of the most unaffordable cities in the world, Vancouver, Toronto, and now Hamilton. He doesn't get it that, you know, government taxes are part of inflation. And by the way, when they calculate the official inflation rate, taxes aren't included.
That's a mess. Well, you know, here in the U.S., you know, when they compute the inflation index, it doesn't include energy or food. So, you know, which are probably two of the main ingredients that hit the pocketbook of the average person, and why it's not in the index and excluded here has been insanity for decades. So it's you just wonder what is going through the minds of the people that create this thing. And what's more important, the fact that it's reported and it's illegitimate numbers, in my opinion, how we get away with it. So this is an ongoing issue in my life for a long time, listening to government reports and realizing that they're, on the most part, fraudulent.
Mark, always a pleasure chatting with you.
Have a great week. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk next Thursday or Friday. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.